Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. The age of heroes has dawned and the Elysium Project unfolds. Today, I'm proud to bring you The Art of Healing, hosted by the legendary Kak Young. Greetings and welcome, Kak.
Thank you so much, Hercules. Legendary kind of scares me a little bit, but coming from you, I'll take it as a compliment.
Thank you. Your guest is here. If you need me, just give a holler.
Very nice. Well, tonight I'm very excited. We have a medical medium on our show tonight who has helped many thousands of people around the world. Now, in addition to her unique healing abilities, which we're going to learn about a lot later today, she also helps people access the fifth dimension. Kimberly also hosts her own radio show called The Medical Intuitive Miracle Show. And she's sought after as a guest on many other radio shows and podcasts. So I am especially thrilled to have her here tonight. We have a lot in common, and I can't wait to talk about it. So The Art of Healing welcomes Kimberly Meredith. Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Kimberly. Tonight we're going to talk about you, the wonderful work you do, the gifts you have, and about your fabulous new book, Awakening to the Fifth Dimension. Let's start a little bit about with your book, if we can. Many luminaries have given testimonials to you in your book, people like Catherine Oxenberg, John Gray, Stephen Halpern, Guy Hendricks, and that's just the top few. There are so many more. So, Kimberly, you've written about the fifth dimension. So what is that for you?
Well, I say, you know, the fifth dimension is living in just a beautiful love, energy, you know, being in this God-loving manifestation where you can heal faster and staying in the highest dimensional frequency possible.
Well, it sounds awesome. Now, I have to honestly tell you that my first job in show business was working for the fifth dimension, the recording group. And they had a little office at 1022 North Palm Avenue, just below the Sunset Strip. And so when I saw your book, I went, oh, this is great. Of course, it's not the recording stars. But, you know, it's really interesting because they were great people themselves. And when they did their concerts, people were really transmuted. They were lifted into another dimension. So we'll leave that aside, but we have the fifth dimension in common.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Activating
So how was the fifth dimension discovered?
For me?
Yeah, for you, and I mean, who called it the fifth dimension? Who set aside the various dimensions? And, you know, I'd love to talk about all the dimensions so we get a sense
really
of...
I don't really know who discovered the dimensions. I just know how I discovered my dimensions.
Yes.
I think dimensional theory probably goes back to Einstein, and many scientists have studied dimensional theories, but... For me, dimensions were discovered through the Holy Spirit, through my NDE, and I work in dimensions starting from when I had my near-death experience and when I started doing my hands-on healing work throughout the countries. I started laying on hands like many faith healers do, and I was transmuting energy through the Holy Spirit, and I would say, do you receive the Holy Spirit, God? And people would say yes, and I'd say, you're in the fifth dimension. They'd say, I'm in the fifth dimension, and that's where it came from, me just channeling those words and being in that dimensional frequency. I felt And I knew I was in that frequency, which in the Bible they talk about the fifth dimension.
So in your book, you talk a little bit about the getting to the fifth dimension and how you got there. And so you said it was a near-death experience. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, everybody's fascinated when a healer talks about their powers. Is it something you were born with? Did it develop? What did the near-death experience create it? Walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I was born with healing abilities at a young age, and they're pushed away. And I wrote about it in the book, and then they were reawakened after the near-death experience. I was two very prominent near-death experiences in 2013, and my healing abilities came back again after I had the experiences, and my eyes would blink when I was very little, and the blinking is communicating with spirit, and they left when I was little because my mother didn't like it, and she was very stern about me stopping it. And then after the NDEs happened the accidents I had, they came back again, and the blinking is a way of me communicating with spirit, and it directs me how to do my mediumship and my communication, and how I do my healing is direct communication with my ways with healing people, and also helping other people communicate and helping people understand that we're all able to gather energy and healing power through the fifth dimensional and beyond the holy divine.
Well, I would just want to familiarize our listeners with a little bit what you say in the book. You are very clear in your glossary where you say that the third dimension is rooted in fear, egotistical behavior, greed, and dense rules. It can be a good or bad reality. Then you say that the fourth dimension is a connection to astral travel, the higher connections to angels, our guides, and animals. And the fourth dimension often brings the soulmate in. And the fifth dimension you describe as being pure light, love, linear timelines and realities. Tapping into your full potential can happen here. 5D or the fifth dimension means you live from your heart and all that is possible. So it sounds to me like as we progress on a spiritual spiral, we can all get into the fifth dimension where you do your work and other people can join you. Is that true?
I do believe that's true. I believe that if we let ourselves just be more childlike and out of our mind, like stinking thinking, and just let ourselves get into that space and have an open heart connection, we can get back into that energy field. I believe we were born in that energy field, and we go back into the 3D a lot.
Yeah, life kind of takes us there if we don't practice staying in the fourth and fifth, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, the fourth dimension, you know, people ask me a lot, you know, what is that all about? And, you know, it is really about the nature and all of that stuff, but, you know, we're really being taken out of the fourth dimension also. So really being in the fifth dimension is really about being in the love and the light. And going beyond the fifth dimension is really being in that magical dimensional frequency where we're more awakened to our true identity and our true gifts and more of our astral travel and telepathy and awakening can happen.
On page 105 in the book, you say the fifth dimension is available to everyone all the time. The techniques, prayers, affirmations, and practices in my book are ways that people can begin to develop the practice of entering the fifth dimension in their own lives. Now, why is that important for you to teach other people how to live in the fifth dimension?
Well, I don't really think it's important for me to teach people. It's my guides that are teaching people. I mean, why not? Why not be taught that? Why not do it? I mean, people often, I mean, I do this every day of my life. I'm doing this 7 days a week. People seek me out. They seek me out for healing. They seek me out for prayer. They seek physicians out, holistic practitioners out. They seek ways, you know, to take vitamins or... So why not learn to meditate? Why not learn to do all of these beautiful things, but why do them in a lower frequency? Why not do them into the highest frequency and learn how to get in there?
So it's not just an imaginary place. Now, what's interesting is that you and your gifts have been tested by some of the most impressive scientific agencies on this planet. Can you tell us a little bit about that testing and why they wanted to certify your very unique healing abilities and your abilities to connect?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, I don't really know why they wanted me. They called me and picked me out to come visit them. And, you know, it was kind of annoying, actually, and very boring. And when I went there, you know, I really wanted to go home. But especially Ions, you know, it was very interesting there, you know. And my guides did much more than they even asked me to do, because my guides get pretty bored. They always do much more than I really, even when I do my scans and my mediumship work with my clients, we go far beyond the call of duty. So, you know, I did enjoy doing my work with Dr. Sheely, who endorsed my book. I did have a fabulous time with him, and he was a joy to work with. I did enjoy that. That was really cool.
So how do they test you for this, Kimberly?
I don't know what you mean, how do they test me. I guess how they test anybody, how they test many people, they're all different. Yeah, they're just all different things they do, you know.
I mean, Sheely,
I guess I don't know what you mean.
I envision somebody hooking you up to a bunch of like when you have an EEG or something, they hook you up to these little pads that they paste all over you. And they, you know, they test these little machines for waves. And I thought, well, maybe there's a machine that they hooked you up to that tested you for fifth dimension waves.
Much more hardcore than that. It's not that easy. There's many people at IONS that test you where you're filling out forms. People fill out forms with multiple people. They find out everything that's wrong with a person, and then they ask you to go in there and do, I don't know what they did to the other people, but for me, I had to know every single thing that was wrong with them.
Well, yeah. So it's like, I guess, grilling, they would say. They really put you to the test.
And other institutes, not only did I know everything that's wrong with them, I actually dismissed everything off of them, and they put them through thermography.
Fantastic. So it was kind of like a before Kimberly and an after Kimberly. It was the person, all right, you came in with this, and now you don't have
and
that
then also,
anymore.
Also, not only do I do that, but I also know how they got it, where they got it, and what they were exposed to.
Wow. Okay, now that's impressive. That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
But it's not me. You know, I can't take credit for any of it. I don't like to take credit for any of the work. It's not me, because if I take credit for any of the work, then I'm going into a third dimensional state of frequency. And third dimensional state of frequency is ego, an ego or I-go. And I don't want to be booted out. I don't want to be booted out of this consciousness. This consciousness is the higher consciousness. It's the masters. And the ascended masters are here. It's not me. This is the energy of the ascending masters.
Why do you think they chose you?
Well, they choose people that they want to use to spread love and kindness and light and the frequency that is going to help humanity move forward right now. And that is all I know. And they want that. They want that right now. That's what they want. They want that.
Well, they have good taste because they picked a beautiful person with gorgeous packaging. I mean, you are beautiful and lovely to be with, and your energy is easy to feel. So they picked a good person there.
Thanks.
You're so sweet. You are so humble. But, I mean, I give them great credit for that. And so, but they put you through a lot, or life puts you through a lot. Now, I don't want to give away everything in your book, but my goodness, you were hit by a car door. You were put in the hospital. I'm sure a lot of the doctors said, well, she'll never walk again, let alone work again. You had a career in television. You were doing very, very well. And, I mean, it seems that they needed to get your attention.
Yeah, my life has changed a lot. Yes. But I'm gracious for it because I'm okay with what I'm doing now, because I'm happy when they are helping people find out preventative actions when people are not well and they have cancers and illnesses that need to be healed immediately. And they are giving people the heads up on those things, and they're taking actions, and people are getting help. So that's good. Doing good work.
Now, some people need to have an illness or an affliction in order to learn a life lesson. Where do you go in that process about healing that before they've learned the lesson? I imagine you take your guides take all of that into account when you work on a person. So talk to me about how you know whether a person should be healed or if they need to have that affliction a little longer. How does that work for you?
I believe it's not up to anything to do with me. It's up to the person, and it's up to them if they're willing to go into their forgiveness, their higher dimensional self. And, you know, I'm only a part of the equation. You know, I'm like the middleman between source and them. So when they're ready to release and let go, and I talk about that in the book a lot, being in forgiveness. So it's pretty easy if you're in that state.
So people come to you. Now, do you see them for multiple sessions? Is it do you have a lot that your guys want to teach them through you? Is it just like a one type of a session with you? How do you help your clients?
It's a great question. You know, depending on what is going on with somebody, you know, it could be anywhere from somebody wants to come one time, or they want to do counseling, mentorship, or if it's, you know, something that's pretty severe, if they want to come multiple times, to anywhere if somebody has a neck injury, to many different things. I have an office in Encino. I'm there 2 days a week, and most of the times I'm hopping on Skype and doing Skype sessions, and I also do classes. I do multiple different things, and I'm just really here to be of service to people.
So you also use, or you mentioned that you use a cold laser and that you got your certification in using that cold laser
mm-hmm.
because it had been used on you and it was effective.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I love cold laser. I think anyone, if they're around anyone that uses it or has it in their vicinity or availability in their where they live, a lot of people around the country ask me about it. I really love it. I think it's a great way to heal. It's a better alternative than chiropractic and stuff like that. It regenerates collagen tissue in the body and the vertebrae, and it's a great modality. And I hope more people start to use it instead of running right to surgery. It's just something really cool, and I got acquainted with it after I had the horrible car accident. And, you know, I do use it on people. It does work really quick when I do use it because I generate the energy of spirit through it. And I use
sure.
ice with it. A lot of people don't use ice. I like the ice with it because ice generates more growth through the tissue and the collagen. It pushes the collagen faster to grow.
So a person comes to you with a very advanced stage of cancer, and what do you do? How do you first talk to them? How do you tell me what you would do in a situation like that?
Well, if somebody comes to me with cancer, I mean, there's so many different ranges of cancer. I don't know what you mean about that. If someone comes to me with cancer.
Yes, I know. I mean, would you, because you have help from the other side, it seems like you have, you know, other eyes on this whole thing and to find out whether it's a cancer that can be cured through food, if it could be done through a forgiveness process.
How
you approach
it. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, so depending on what they're going through, I always start, well, I do a mediumship reading first, and I would go through their body, and then I would find out what they're eating, what supplements they're taking, and I would first go into that idea of assessment.
And
I'm
when
very
you
successful with that. And I don't really call it cancer, actually, to be honest with you. I normally, when clients come in with that, I call it an immune-suppressed condition. And I am very successful with it because I don't like that word. And I have a lot of clients that have different types of immune-suppressed conditions. And I do feel that it's not something that can't be helped. And most of the times that people get these things, it's because they've been environmentally attacked. And it's a way that so basically I do go into looking at their environment first off their environment and what they're eating, and that's how I go at it. And I think I talk a lot about that in the book.
Yes, you do. You talk a great deal about that. And
let's
talk
thing.
About your helpers then. Your helpers, which are.
Sure.
Yeah, nutrition, and you have a whole partition here on water, and you use crystals. And so, yes, how do you advise your client to, let me use the word shape up, because they
yeah,
have to be
I mean,
part
I can...
of the healing too, huh?
Yeah, so go ahead. You can ask me.
No. No, that's all. I just wanted to say, okay, so you want to put someone on a new protocol, and, you know, maybe they have been an eater of traditional American diet foods that involve a lot of dairy and cheeses and meats, and you want to help them clean out their passages a little bit. So how do you approach that? How do you know it's going to work for a person?
Well, I mean, everybody is different. So, I mean, I can't say this is the way. I don't know. I mean, everybody is different. So there's not, I mean, even in the book, there's so many different diet plans that I put in here. So a fifth-dimensional body of health and nutritional practices is a very important chapter in chapter 8, and I hope people get to pick up the book and read about it. But the first thing I would like to say is that you have to drink good water, and that's the most important thing when I go into somebody's body, whether they have cancer or COVID or any immune-suppressed condition, you must be drinking good water. And before you're talking about any kind of meal plan, if you're drinking out of plastic or you're drinking tap water or, you know, any kind of low-grade water, it's not going to work out. And if you're taking a shower out of tap water and you're breathing in really bad steam from the water, which is bleach or fluoride, you know, it's not going to help you boost your immune system. And even if you're, you know, on radiation or chemo and you're eating the greatest food in the world and taking the greatest vitamins in the world and you're still polluting your lungs, it's just not really going to help. So there's a big chapter on water can save your life, and I'm really, really proactive about water. This is really, 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 I can't stress enough how important. And sometimes people come to me and they're still drinking filtered water, but they're still not getting well.
And, you know, the subject of water is extremely confusing. First of all, the bottled water was great, and then the plastic had contaminants in it, and the refuse is not good for the planet or the sea. And so then people were going to filtered water into their own containers, and sometimes those mm-hmm. containers got hot and created, you know, hot in the car, and it created bacteria within the water. Kimberly, tell us here and now, how do we handle the confusing subject of water? What's the best thing we can do for ourselves?
Well, for me, seeing and scanning so many people and doing all my health investigation, I really see that between the water and the toothpaste, you know, it's really gained havoc on people's systems. And, you know, people will fight me tooth and nail with, oh, I've got the best, cleanest diet. I've got the best water. And they're drinking out of the refrigerator. They're drinking their well water. And they're drinking their filters on their sinks. But yet their showers are still not with the filter. And they're breathing in contaminated water from the shower. And their homes have got like $5,000 filters in their houses, but they're still got cancer. And so it's so horrific what's going on with the water in the world right now, and people saying, oh, the well water was tested, but I've got squamous cell cancer in my mouth. And, you know, it's really interesting because I did a lot of water testing with me, and I blinked exactly correctly on every single water testing that I did. And even now I know for a fact that you need to have minerals in your water. You cannot go with just filtered water, drinking it all the time. You cannot have just alkaline water. It's not enough for your body. You need minerals in your water. If you want to just do alkaline water all the time, eventually it's going to dehydrate you. You are going to be dehydrated. Half the world's dehydrated. You need minerals in your water, flat out. You need minerals. If you want to put a filter on your sink and cook with filtered water, that is awesome, 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 awesome. But don't drink refrigerated water. That's awful for you. And you don't want to have water from anything that's out of plastic. There's no BPA free. And in my book, I explain that. And that's been out for a long time. We all know there's no BPA free.
Right. Right. And the whole planet is pretty much deficient in D3 and magnesium, and those are minerals that can come to us through the water if the water is not sterilized.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so but the thing is people don't understand is that, and I knew this back when I was in nursing, when I used to work the oncology floor, is that when you take a bath and you're sitting in the tub and you're soaking in bleach and fluoride, you can get uterine cancer, prostate cancer. So you do need to make sure your tub is filtered, and you can get a rain shower bath ball and put that in your tub and clean it out. And you can put filters on your shower and breathe in really great steam and not be breathing in toxic pollution, pesticides and everything in your lungs. And that's great right now during COVID. You want to make sure that you're breathing in good steam in your lungs.
So you pretty much have to teach people. You teach your clients how to live, how to create a smart, holistic life.
Yes, all day long, all day long. All day long, all day long. Yes. Yes.
Now, your guides, how do they know all this? How are they smart enough to know all the science behind all this and give it to you so that you can disseminate the information?
You know, I don't really know. I just hear everything that goes on. And like, so today, like I was in a meetings with clients all day today. And like I knew person had, you know, a tumor. I know where they got it from. They're telling me what they need, what to do. They just tell me, they give me the information. I give the information to the person. The person will say, yeah, that's what I was told. That's what I had to scan. You're right. Da-da-da. But then I give them more information that would be helpful for them in their daily diet or something. So they'll tell me, a person might say, well, I'm taking this, this, and that. And the guides will say, no, that may not be a good thing for you to do. Move it around and take something like that. You know, so just like something maybe easy with the diet. Maybe the diet has something in it that was making, like maybe eating tomatoes might be too much for the gut or the ulcer. So they didn't know that, you know, or maybe the doctor didn't tell them that, but my guides are going, no, that's not good.
Do you ever get tired of being the conduit for all this information?
Yeah, my brain goes so fast, and it just takes it so much information like that, and then when I'm done with work, it just shuts it off. I don't get tired.
And what do you do? I mean, the book is amazing. I just want to tell our listeners again,
thank
Awakening
you.
To the Fifth Dimension, Revolutionary Wisdom for One of the World's Most Respected Medical Intuitive Healers, Kimberly Meredith. And this is published by St. Martin's Essentials, and it is available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. That's for sure. And it's just, you know, how did you decide to write this? I mean, this is an epic book. This is one of the most important books, I think, of this century.
Thank you.
I really do. I think that this solves a lot of problems for people. It's extremely encouraging. And you, it's even though you've written it, it's not about you. It's about other people. And the information that you disseminate through this book is extraordinary. And it will only help people get a little closer to their better selves and to their premium health, I think. And that, and I
Thank
read
you.
A lot of books.
Thank you. This book was for my grandmother because my grandma meant everything to me. And after my near-death experience, she died. And I didn't really think I could live because I was so close to her. I mean, I loved my grandma so much. And I know a lot of people love their grandmas, but I didn't really have it easy growing up. And she accepted me for who I was. So to answer your question, like, what made me write this, I was told to write it from God, and I dedicated a book to her, and this is a way for me to stay close to her. And it's for everybody. It is for everyone. It's not for me. It's for everyone. And I hope it's like a little guidebook for everyone to feel close, so they feel close when they feel, like, scared. And I had someone recently that works for the George Lopez Foundation. And she said, this feels like kind of like a Girl Scout book, kind of in a little way. Like, I feel like I can have this to grab for like an affirmation or a prayer and open it up and read it. And I channel these prayers, and I hope these are comforting to people at times.
Well, they are, and you even have recipes in here. You have the fifth dimensional list of health do's and don'ts, what to embrace, what to avoid, simple ways to protect your eyes, your mood, and your sleep. Really, it's a handbook. I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
And
everything in here I could think of.
Yes, and I want to just mention the name of your grandma. It was Bernice Donna Mary, Grandma B, and you have dedicated it to her beautifully.
Yeah.
And it's great when you have somebody in your life that accepts you. You were retrained to not blink by your parental units. But Grandma B encouraged it, and then you had to suppress it for a while, and that's painful. That stores in a lot of suppressed energy that can come out negatively. But when you did come out into your own full expression, you did it dramatically and dynamically, and maybe that's to get people to pay attention, and maybe your own self to pay attention to these extraordinary gifts that these ascended masters have chosen you. They picked you to talk about this and to really get this out into the world.
Yes, thank you for saying that. It just reminded me of something so cool. The other day, a woman came in and she goes, I love this because I suppressed myself, and this made me feels so good to read about you coming out and saying that. And I felt so good about that because she said she felt connected to that in the book.
Yes, and I think you telling your stories, and not all of us could have such horrific life experiences as you did, you know, although I did identify with you being hit by the side door of a car because I was actually run over by my own car
at
one point. Yes. And what I did was I just get up and walk. I just instinctively said, I want to tell my tissues and my body that we walk. This is what we do. We're not going to lose this ability. And so it was just kind of an instinctive thing to do. But, and you had medical experience, and I was the producer of General Hospital for a few years. So we have
some really
fun things in our show business career and our life history that, I just personally resonated to. I do love the book because I think it's thorough. It doesn't just say, okay, this is what happened to me. Aren't I cool? Blah, blah, blah. Here was my experience. No, it's all about the other person, and it's all about, even when you do tell your personal stories, and I know I'm talking too much right now, you tell your personal stories, Kimberly, but you do it in a way that it's inclusive of everybody else's energy and their experience. So whether we had a little bitty version of an accident, we can still all identify with the pain, the shock, the horror, and the recovery that you describe. So I think it's really, really valuable what you've said. And if anybody has any curiosity about the healing process, about theirs, they ought to pick up your book. It's Awakening to the Fifth Dimension, and the fifth dimension is the place where Kimberly has told us that's where the healing takes place.
Yeah,
and
that's where
and it's available to everyone all the time. So you give prayers and affirmations and
hello, Kak.
Yep.
Hi, we seem to have lost Kak. Kak, if you can hear us, just call back in. Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm glad to hear
that. We're in the fifth dimension.
Yes, we are. Very fascinating. I have to read your book now.
Yes, we're in the fifth dimension, and she was so high in the fifth dimension.
And she's back. Greetings and welcome, CAC.
Yay.
Hello, CAC.
Hello, back.
CAC,
give me your phone. Hang on. Let me try a different phone here.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. I just physically switched phones. Yes, that has happened to me before, as I'm sure it has with you. I've been, recording a psychic, and the vibration cancels out the earthly plane. Anyway, back. Thank you for tolerating. All right. So what I was asking is, if someone buys your book and follows the protocols and really takes it to heart, can they heal themselves?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've had people heal themselves. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about
experience. Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about crystals here, because I share your love of them. I've written two books on them, and I think they're extraordinary helpers. So I'm going to just say that the crystals that you work with and like are rose quartz, celestite, amethyst, topaz, and selenite. Talk to me a little bit about your connection to crystals and how they help you heal and other people.
Yeah, I'm really drawn to selenite. I just feel it opens up the body to all the chakras. And I've been working with a selenite crystal since I became a healer. I work with selenite every single day for the last 7 years. I put the selenite in people's hands when I'm doing healings on them at my office. And I work with selenite in my own hands while I'm doing my sessions over Skype. I'm just drawn to the selenite. Do you know the selenite crystal?
Very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the stone of the moon, the stone of emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it opens up the chakras. Mm-hmm.
It does, and it also opens up communication to the higher dimensions, and it really allows you to feel, I think, rooted in your emotions in a non-scary way, so that you're able to really receive.
Yeah, it's very clearing. It's the white crystal, and it's just, I don't know how it happened. It's just my guides drew me to selenite from the beginning, and I can't let it go. It's just one that's just really, I have a huge piece in my home, and at my office, a client brought me a gigantic piece, and I little heart ones I give to the clients in their palms when they come into the office, and when I go out in front of the expos and big events I do, I place the selenites in people's hands. And it's just something I can't let go of. It's just, I want to go to other crystals when I do the healings, but I can't.
Have you tried peach selenite? You call it selenite. I call it selenite, but you have.
Selenite.
How do you feel about the peach?
It's okay, but it's nothing like the white. I'm really attracted to the white.
Now, you also like topaz, and topaz is a great healing stone, and I just wondered why you chose topaz as opposed to maybe citrine.
I do like citrine a lot. I do love that one, too, and I love rose quartz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a lot of rose quartz around me and amethyst.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like citrine. I do a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, what I think about citrine is that it never needs cleansing. It cleanses itself, and it's kind of like self-healing. So it's a really good image, metaphor for, I think, the work that you do. At least that's That's what I think. But topaz is great too. It's a great aligner for the meridians of the body. In Chinese medicine, it aligns the meridians so that things, healing energy, flows through the body more directly and more in a balanced way. I also love that you love the chakras, because that's a really powerful ancient way to approach healing energy and how it moves through the body.
Yep, I work on chakras every day. People that come into the office and even over the Skype, I work on people's chakras every single day. It's part of the practice that I do.
And what happens when someone comes in and says, "Oh, I don't believe in this duo stuff. Or what, you know, just put your hands on me and fix me." What? How do you handle somebody like that?
I don't have anybody that comes like that. I haven't had anybody like that in like 6 years. Mostly everybody that comes to me is honorable and gracious and excited, and they fly from all over the world to see me or drive like hours. And most of the time people are really excited and loving and kind. And I don't have that energy.
Yeah, well, you just don't draw those kinds of people to you.
If they did act like that, I don't, you know, I know how to sort of just talk to them, like, and understand their feelings. So I feel like I respect their feelings if they were going to communicate like that.
How long does a typical session with a client go for you?
You know, it's funny with me and time. I'm sort of like an Albert Einstein. A lot of people laugh because I'm eccentric. You probably would think that maybe. So normally it's an hour, but I always am late. So most people that know me or people have heard about my work, I'm late because if somebody is needing more than an hour, I'm going to go over the hour. So meaning if it's a tumor or something that's on them and, you know, something can come off somebody in a minute, but if it needs longer attention, then I'm going to go over.
Can you talk about some of your most dramatic, dramatic healings? Everybody likes to hear about makeovers. And so what is the most, the thing that comes to your mind first when you think of the most powerful healing that's ever happened in your presence?
I think I've had two of the most powerful healings in my life with people. One in front of like 200 people at an expo, and one in my office with a gentleman from, he was a police officer from 9/11, where I've taken out a golf, probably a size of a grapefruit tumor with my bare hands, disintegrated. And then the other one was at the Los Angeles Conscious Expo. I yelled out in the room, "I'm going to come out into the room and find the sickest person." And I walked out and found a man with 4-stage bone cancer all the way down his back that had metastasized. And he screamed, "Ave Maria, Ave Maria, she's going to heal me." And when I laid him on the table, I took my hands and went all the way down his back and screamed, "You're healed." And then about a month later, he came in my office and said he was completely healed.
Wow. Wow. And then you give your guides and your ascended masters, you give them the credit for this, that you just knew what to do and you did it and you found the person.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. But also the other side of it is that when I do things like that, my body afterwards is completely dehydrated and exhausted. And I also don't know a lot of times until much later, like they come back and tell me, thank God, some of them come back and tell me of the miracles, which I'm so happy about. Many people do write me and tell me the wonderful miracles. And sometimes I don't get them all, but I do get them all, which makes me so happy.
Kimberly, what do you want the world to know about you and your work? And, you know, if they can find you, if they, how you are available to heal people, how can they contact you and find you? And what do you want to do with all your clients?
Well, I basically just want people to know that everybody deserves a miracle. And everybody can have one, and they can contact me at thehealingtrilogy.com, and I hope that they can pick up my book. My book is also an audio book. It's an audio book, and inside the book, they can get really, you know, get the good information to learn how to tap into the fifth dimension and experience healing. And I'm just really grateful. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad that people know how to find you. Again, it's thehealingtrilogy.com, and that's where you can find Kimberly, the woman with two first names, Kimberly Meredith. So if you forget one, you can remember the other. And Norman Shealy did the intro to her book. Again, that is Discovering the Soul's Path to Healing, which is equally, I think, the title to Awakening to the Fifth Dimension. It's extraordinary wisdom. It's extraordinary information. It's an amazing book to immerse yourself in. And I like what you said, Kimberly. You talked about people can just pick it up and read a little bit and get the energy, the vibration, the information. They can put it down, they can go on with their life, and you can do this as a process. You know, you don't have to sit down and read this cover to cover, and it's not a course, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome. And now we have 3 minutes left, and I want you to talk about what I have forgotten. I want, you know, anything that I didn't do that you'd like to emphasize, I just want you to use up the next 3 minutes.
Okay. I just want to, I think you've went over almost everything. I'm just going to shout out to everybody, maybe just a little, I'll just say really quick, a fifth dimensional, it's from my book, just a fifth dimensional miracle prayer for everybody, just sending everybody lots of love and light and healing in these times. And it's just a quick little blurb from one of my miracle prayers on page 121, which just says, I am fully and freely and willingly accepting the awakening of the fifth dimension. My heart is open and ready to receive the love and intimacy of God consciousness. We are a child of God. Amen. And just sending everybody just love and light to everybody and healing to the world.
And I like the rest of the words on that page, too, where you say, love being in the fifth dimension. I feel peace, love, and joy in the fifth dimension.
Yes.
I am trusting that the negative third dimensional mind chatter is quickly overcome by the fifth dimension. My mind is automatically focused on the present moment with no effort required. My mind is simply a state of being. I automatically live in the fifth dimension. My heart is open in the fifth dimension. I am a child of God. What a perfect prayer. What a perfect way to end.
This is one of the first prayers I ever wrote, and I say this out at a lot of my events, and this is one I want to send everybody off with. Yes, thank you.
It is my pleasure. It has been just an honor speaking with you. I am enamored. I am supportive. I am thrilled with the work you do in the world, with the information you disseminate, and the help you bring to all of children. Thank you, Kimberly Meredith, author of Awakening to the Fifth Dimension. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you so much for having me on your beautiful show.
Thank you. And Hercules, I turn this back over to you and all your Mount Olympus constituents with gratitude for allowing us to have this hour. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, and thank you. And thanks to everybody who listened, whether you called and you're in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures and a healthy and happy new year. And may you too find the fifth dimension. And we will close with Golden Bough by Virginia Ackley.
Perfect. Kimberly, thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Oh, you were just great. Yeah.
Happy New Year.
With the stars in her eyes and the trees whispered soft words of the wise. Time stood still and the spirits heard her sigh, and they danced to the music of her cry. Lady of moonlight, lady of day, I am lost, so lost on my way. What path do my feet tread now to the shade of the golden bough? The turning of night she stood, oh, between one world and another, all that she knew and all that she knew was to heed the call of mother. Lady of moonlight, lady of day, I am lost, so lost on my way. What path do my feet tread now to the shade of the golden bough? Lady of Moon.